Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Intuition and Spirituality series. Now, in this episode, we're talking about asking your soul for intuitive advice. So if your information, your intuition is coming from your soul, it's that communication from the soul, the spiritual person, to the physical person, then how do we go about asking for that information to come through? Now, we've put a lot of emphasis on developing your intuition and trusting your intuition, but there's a step before that, which we often neglect. And in some cases, we can overuse it. So what I wanted to talk about today is this asking aspect, which is connecting with your intuition. So there is a sequence to develop your intuition. And it's about this sequence of developing it enough that you confidently can trust your intuition, that it'll give you the right guidance and support that you need. So connecting with your intuition requires you to acknowledge that it's there to start with. Now, just like someone who's on drugs, they can only start their journey of recovery by acknowledging that there is a problem. Once they've acknowledged it, they have the opportunity to go forward. So we need to acknowledge that we have a soul within us, we have a spirit within us to which we can connect with. And the messages that we're getting from them, those intuitive messages, is what we call our intuition. Now, when I first started on my spiritual journey, I struggled to trust myself. I struggled to go within and get that understanding. I didn't have the confidence within. So I looked externally for other things. And at that stage, angels were all the go. So I thought, well, angels are the closest thing that I could relate to as far as God goes. I didn't like the word God. There were so many things done in the world in the name of God that I felt was very, very wrong. So I didn't use that word. I didn't want to even connect with that word. So the closest thing I got to was angels. And I would look at everything angelic. I would collect them. I got angel cards. I did an angel reading course. I did everything to do with angels. It gave me that sense of peace. It gave me that sense of serenity. And in all honesty, it started me on my journey to connect with myself. It gave me a lot more understanding. And of course, when you're starting to move in the circles of with other people that believe in things such as angels and spirituality, you start to develop a bigger understanding and you start to learn more about different things. So when people talk about past lives experience and they talk about all sorts of spiritual things, I never close my mind to it. I always allow it to be open. I don't have to believe, but I know the benefits of what I got when I started to believe in something that was a little bit different to what the norm did. So when I started to look into angels and spirituality, it made me go further and further. I got further into personal development, further into all sorts of other things. I was never very strong with religion, and I can't tell you exactly why. I do believe it's past life experiences. I've never got heavy into past life experiences because I believe we're here in this world for this reason, but it doesn't mean I'm not interested in them. I found it quite fascinating and quite enjoyable. It does open your mind up to other things. So angels were my first port of call. That was the closest thing I could get to becoming spiritual. And from there, I started to learn other things and went further afield. Angels became nice, but not necessary for me. And the more I learned, the more I went within, right inside, and learned about myself through meditation, through all other sorts of areas. But the sequence that I'm talking about in developing and trusting your intuition is the first part. It's the connecting with your intuition. And as I've said, it is about acknowledging that we have a spirit within us. And how you want to see that, whether you want to call that your God, whether you want to say it's connected to God, I don't know. And I don't want to get caught up in the words or the language people use. All I know is that it's in there. We've got the two bodies. We've got the spirit and we've got the physical. And they need to talk to each other. And they do it through the intuition. That's what intuition is. So the sequence is to ask, which is connect, is to receive, which is develop, and it is to respond, which is trust. You won't respond until you trust. So we look at all this area, and to connect is all about asking. It's about putting our intentions out there, letting people know, letting the world know. And I don't mean you have to talk on a microphone or even do a podcast about it, for that matter, but it's all about allowing it to come out a little bit. So to ask, put your intentions out there. Developing is about receiving that information. We often do that through meditation. We receive the information, again, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. So we receive all this information. When we are developing our intuition, it is how we receive that information and how we interpret that information. And that's what leads us to trust. Because sometimes we have to do a bit of trial and error as we receive these information before we can actually trust. Well, not before we can trust it, before we actually feel comfortable and confident enough to trust it. And a lot of that can actually be done through visualization, too, visualization. I'm starting to get a dry mouth and talking funny already. Visualization is all about the responding and reacting to the information you've received and how we've interpreted those messages. To connect, we need to ask. And asking can be done in many, many ways. One of the important things is being aware of the intention behind asking. Now, remember, we receive intuitive messages such as physical feelings, mental thoughts, emotional expressions, and spiritual experiences. Therefore, we can ask for guidance in very similar ways. Now, physically, we could write our intentions down on a journal or even write a book. I've done that. So we have that information out there. We're putting it all out there. We're acknowledging it. We're understanding it. So we're really connecting with our intuition. Using the five senses, we can put forward our intuition, and some of that is all about how we behave or treat others, what we do in our environment or in our society, and all of that will actually reflect your intention towards your life purpose. That will reflect your intention towards your soul. So when we start to do that, when we start to put it out there, It's if you can imagine you're asking for a brand new car, I want a new car, but you're treating people very negatively. Now, you're not going to be in the same flow, you're not going to be in the same rhythm or in the same space to receive what you want. So be mindful of that. In situations like that, you may be asking for a car, treating people badly, and so you'll receive a bad car or your car breaks down or something to that effect. So be mindful of that. It's quite important. I've been known to yell or even swear out of frustration and wanting to know what to do next. I'm sure you've all done the, oh, what the? Come on, that's not what I wanted. Be fair. I wanted this or I wanted that. Usually the response I get when I'm asking like that comes back to me in a similar manner. So probably not one I would recommend. Some cultures or groups refer to it as prayer, chanting, and even affirmations. So you could be asking for help or guidance through this mental thought or thought patterns. When we're doing prayer, we can say it out loud. We can say it to ourselves. We can just think it if we want to. We can sing it. In churches, we sing it. Chanting's very similar. We're actually allowing that vibration out. So although we're not actually saying things, intentional words, we're actually letting this vibration out, this energy vibration, which is acknowledging the soul. It's acknowledging your spirit inside. And affirmations are ones that we will read. You know, we have those lovely little sayings. We've got one on our fridge. It says, never, never, never give up. And sometimes we see them, and other times we don't. Sometimes we remember them, and other times we don't. And you'll find that that's what it's all about. It's about that understanding. Something will click, and that little thought will come into your head, and it's like, oh, I'm asking for help, or I'm asking for guidance. And that is how things can happen. But of course, if you've got emotions and the right intention behind it, it makes it even better. So if you add an emotion or two to any of these ways, while you're writing, while you're chanting, while you're in prayer, if you have the right intention and the right emotions attached to it, they will soar higher and higher than ever before. But for this podcast, I want to share with you my spiritual experience that I had, where I got to the stage where I had nothing else to lose. So I asked for help. And what I received was out of this world. This experience wasn't a nice one. It wasn't polite at all. And I have talked about it in prior podcasts. But I want you to get an understanding of this connecting and this acknowledgement. This happened to me well before I started any of my spiritual experiences that I can remember. So this actually happened to me, and I wasn't aware of spirituality. I wasn't aware of anything like that. It happened. I would have been 19 years old. I was on holidays with my sister, younger sister, and it was like two nights before we were due to go home. Now, my younger sister had already left. She'd gone back to the unit. And I was just saying goodbye to a few friends and I headed off myself. So I was probably, 10 minutes behind her, if that. And I can remember there was a couple walking behind me. And I'm just head down, a little bit sad, a little bit, you know, don't want to go home, don't want to go back to work. And I had a tap on the shoulder. And I just naturally thought it was the couple that were behind me, and I've turned around. Now, as I've turned around, I didn't see anything. I was king hit, punched in my face, and obviously hit the ground, the concrete. I came to being dragged into the back of a car by my hair. So my head was already sore from hitting the concrete. My jaw was bloody and sore from getting punched, and I could feel my hair being pulled out by the roots. Coming to like that was so frightening. I really didn't know what was going on, and it takes a few, I would say minutes, but obviously it wasn't minutes. It didn't take that long, but it felt like forever, sort of looking around thinking, what's going on? What's going on? Anyway, what had happened was, obviously I was being attacked. There was three of them and only me. And I knew that there was nothing I could do. Getting dragged back into this car in such brute force, you couldn't fight it. The more I tried to fight, the more damaged I became. So I stopped. I stopped fighting. I thought, I'm not going to give them that pleasure, because if that's what turns them on, I had no intention of doing that. So I stopped fighting and I let them do what they were going to do. There was a couple of times where I really didn't think I was going to survive. There was times when the hands around my throat became so strong that I really didn't think I was going to survive. I remember being there and going, this was when I asked, because I really didn't know what else to do. I didn't ask for help. I asked what I could do to stop them from doing this to anyone else. That was my intention. That was where I was going. There was nothing I could do to stop them doing what they were doing now. But how could I stop them from ever doing that again? That is what I asked. That was what was going through my mind. That was what was coming from my heart. That was where all I could think about. That was the only thing I could think about. So that's what I did. And the result was I left my body and I was outside of the car looking in. Now I couldn't move away. The area around me was, yes, it was night, but it was like that blue tinge, and I've seen it before. I've seen it since, but it's almost like a full moon, a night of the full moon, when, you know, it's dark, but you can see, and it just looks like bluish. It's got that lovely blue tinge to it. It just looks very surreal. And I was standing, it was almost like you were watching a movie. I was standing there watching what was going on, but there was no emotional attachment at all. I didn't feel anything. I can remember looking at the blood coming down the side of her face and her cheek swollen. And I say her because it didn't feel like it was me. It felt like it was her. It was very surreal. So I watched. I can remember looking around. There was no one there, no one to help. And you could see the blood coming from the top of her head where the hair had been pulled out, where it was all coming out. You could see the fear, but you didn't feel the fear. You didn't feel anything. There was no emotional attachment. You could see it. It was more like seeing it, not feeling it. And while I was doing this, I was given the advice that I asked for. I don't know if it was very, very clever, but this was the advice that I was given, and I followed it along. I have no idea why, because it nearly cost me my life when I did this, but I did it anyway. My intentions were for them not to do it again, ever, to anyone else. That's what my intentions were. I don't believe it was long. I believe it was only a short time, but I was back in my body. Oh, the wave of pain that came back in, that from being distant, away from it, not being attached, not having any emotions, not having any physical pain, nothing attached, to coming back into that body and feeling everything was just, it was like a big jolt. It was horrendous. It must be like that when we actually come into our body in womb. But it was, although we wouldn't be in pain, would we? It was horrendous. It was really horrendous. And I've come back in to the body, and my guidance was to pray to them. Now, again, this was Not what I would have thought. So I started to pray to them, and I only knew two prayers, and I didn't even know them very well. But the first one was, and I don't even think it's a prayer, it's just something that I must have picked up at Sunday school when I went there for 6 months. It was, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And I said it over and over again. And each time I said it with more intention. I said it louder. I said it stronger. And I said it with more confidence. And they didn't like it. I kept repeating, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And the more I said it, the more they hit. Eventually, the hands went around the throat. I was all bruised around there, around the mouth, so I couldn't breathe, so they couldn't hear it. It was getting through. And then I started the Lord's Prayer, because that was the only other one I knew. And I don't think I did it properly, but I did it. And I did it. And I did it again. Until at the end, when I couldn't get the hands off my mouth. I just could no longer breathe. That's when I passed out, and I thought I was gone. I didn't pass out for long. I heard one of them go, yell, "Be careful, you'll kill her." And because I said that, I kept my eyes closed and pretended I was dead. They threw me out of the car into the gutter and drove off. Now, this was the connection that I never ever dreamed I was going to have. It was a connection that was so strong, so real, and yet after it all happened, I just let it go. Like, it was so, with so much happening in the physical aspect and you're going through so much emotionally, it was hard to even think about the spiritual experience I had. It wasn't until 15, 20 years later that I was reading some different things in a book that I went, "Oh my God, that's what happened." And it all came back to me. It happened. It happened real enough. And, but like I said, the fact is, it nearly cost me my life by following my intuition, by following the advice and the guidance I was given. I didn't need to interpret it. Because I had such a spiritual experience, I didn't need to interpret it. I've tried to interpret it since then and get an understanding of it, because I still don't understand how to articulate that feeling of being out of your body and seeing what pain looked like out of your body, seeing what fear looks like out of your body, away from it, away from the actual attachment of it. So asking is our first step. Asking is all about our connection. Now, you don't need to go through something as dramatic and as hard as that. There is other ways, and we have those light bulb moments. We have that understanding. We get them all the time. We get that feeling of, oh my goodness, that sounds so right. That feels so right. But majority of times, we understand that feeling when we're aware that we've asked for it. If you're having trouble in your relationship, if you're having trouble with children, with family, with work, with money, start asking. Now, you don't have to be specific. You don't have to say, "I want this and I want that." You need to feel it. You need to put that intention out there. You need to feel what it's like when you receive it. This is how I want to feel when I have money. This is how I want to feel when I'm standing up on stage supporting all these people. This is how I want to feel. And you start to put that intention out, because what you're actually doing is not just asking, you're putting an intention out. If you say, I want to win Pat's Lotto, and you don't have an intention and a feeling with it, you're not likely to get it. But if you start to say, this is how I want to feel when I am financially stable or secure, you start to get that feeling and that understanding. Your life will naturally start to take that on board, because your intuition, those messages you're getting, will lead you that way. You will start to receive the messages that you want. When you're saying, I want to win Tats Lotto because you got no money, or you want to win Lotto because you got no money, and you've got the intention of negativity, and you're down and you're upset and you're not happy because you haven't got money, that's the intention you're putting out there. That is what you will get back. So be very mindful of what you want to put out there and what you want to get back, because it will make a huge difference. So asking for guidance or help or advice, it does come in many, many ways, just as many as it does to receive the information that we're giving. I would suggest that you try different ways. Although I don't recommend the yelling and swearing type, that's not necessarily going to get you what you want. And hopefully you never have to go through what I did. But if journaling is something you like to do, start to write them out in pieces of paper and let the hand flow. Meditation is good. Prayer, deep, sincere prayer. This is probably more, meditation is probably more of the receiving the information, because you go quiet and you can receive that information. Prayer is where you're actually asking. So you're either verbal or mentally verbal or, you know, physically verbal, you're actually asking, but you're putting an intention out there. And when you start to do your prayer, however you do it, when you start putting your intention out there, follow it along. I'd like to win Lotto. I'd like to win some money because I would like to be able to support my family a bit more. I'd love to get another house, or I'd love to develop this. And if I got some money, I'd actually put it towards maybe creating an online course to help people do this. And you start to let that flow. You're asking, you're putting the intention out, and you're putting it out into a bigger format. So it's not just about the winning of the money, because we can win money, and we hear about people winning money. And I can't remember how much, 95% of them or something ridiculous, within 5 years have got none of it left, because they've not got the intention behind it. They've not got the understanding. They've done the physical aspect, but they've not got the intention, the spiritual side to come with it. So be mindful of that. So that's it. That's about connecting with our intuition. Connecting is about asking and having the right intention when you ask. That is what connecting with our intuition is all about. When we develop it, it's about receiving the information, meditation, receiving that information. Give yourself time and space. So we're asking, we're receiving, and then when we trust our intuition, we are actioning it. So that is also, visualization can help you do that. You're actually putting it into action in your mind before you actually put it into action physically. Got a good story on that one, but that's for later. Now, if you want more understanding or tools for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or jump onto the website intuitivenature.com.au and check out the blogs and free resources. Now, I do have a Facebook group called Emotional Mastery, and I am just putting together a program. Now, it's about intuitive mentoring for those going through major changes in their lives, and they need help with, say, direction and clarity. One of the things I thought in my life when I was going through the divorce and the separation, the kids were off my hands and I didn't know where I was going. I had to repurpose my life. I realized then that I was put on this earth for more than one purpose. I thought there was a purpose, but my purpose became bigger. And since then, I have repurposed my life, and I will do it again and again if I need to. So repurpose your life. It takes all your skills and experiences and the knowledge that you've got. It basically, it throws it into a pot, adds a seed of love, and then stands by to watch it grow, blossom, and prosper. If you want to know how to repurpose your life, you could join up in one of the half-day workshops, or go on, you can get onto the one-on-one mentoring with at intuitivenature.com.au. So if there's one-on-one mentoring, that would be with me personally. Connect with me first, because I haven't got most of that up yet. I'm still repurposing my stuff. But remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It is part of human nature. It is our intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane, the intuitive from Intuitive Nature, and I want to thank you for listening. Bye for now.